Kulenen Ablat Gemara, we are up to Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. So we had the Mishnah Machlekes Besham Besil, if you permitted to begin a Malacha on Friday afternoon, that will continue on Shabbos on its own. Besham said it's forbidden, we don't know yet why, we'll soon see the Gemara, and Besil says that it is permitted. And then we also discussed if you're allowed to sell objects or lend objects to a Goy on Friday afternoon. Quote to Shammai, only if the Goy will arrive home before Shabbos begins. And Basil says, as long as Friday afternoon was done, it's all right. And then we had also about giving something to a launderer or a tanner. According to Bishammai, it has to be completed before Shabbos, according to Hillel as a matter. And interestingly, Hillel's own family decided to be machmer like Shammai. Okay, says the Gemara, man tanner. Okay, everybody's muted, yes? Man Tana. Somebody's not muted. Still making money.
One second, I think, yeah. One second. I check again if you're muted.
Okay, Bogie, yeah. You're mute. Okay, mute.
Oh, hang on.
Okay, perfect. Man Tana. Who is the author of Nesinis Mayim Lidyoi Zui Shriyasan? You're telling me that on Friday you're not allowed to put ink into water. Because and then go into Shabbos, which obviously you're telling me that on Shabbos it would have been a malacha. All of these things, had you done them on Shabbos, would have been a malacha of the Torah. What is the malacha of putting in ink in the water? It's like you are kneading together. Now, normally kneading is you got to take your hands and the flour and the water and you mix them all together. Here it happens by itself and they sort of gravitate to each other. Who hold it? That's also considered kneading. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Rebbe, that is the opinion of Rebbe, that even if it happens on its own, that is Rebbe. Just by putting in there to soak, and then by soaking it gravitates to each other. The time we learned, Echad Neisens HaKemach, one person puts flour in the water, Echad Neisens HaKemach, except flour, the other guy puts in water, Ha'achel Chayiv, the latter is Chayiv Divrei Rebbe. Now he didn't physically mix the two together, it's just by sitting there, they sort of cleave to each other. And that's already considered Lisha. So that's Lush and Lav Malacha. Rabbi Yezi says, Einu Chayiv Achi Gabo. Rabbi Yezi agrees. He says, Einu Chayiv, until you physically go ahead and you knead it together. So we see that our Mishnah follows the view of Rabbi. Amale Abai, who said, Vidimla, perhaps even Rabbi Yezi would be murdered. At Kan Lekom Rabbi Yezi. When does Rabbi Yezi argue only in a case where there is another step? Where you, for example, flour and water. The normal way of kneading it is by physically kneading it. So he holds by just putting it in the water. That's not really a complete job, and that's why it's not considered a malacha. Ela bekemach de bar giblu, because it's supposed to be kneading. Abo dioi, when it comes to ink, that you don't normally knead it together. The la bar giblu, it's not, there's no next step. Eimo lechayim, maybe he agrees that this is the only step, coalesces all the pieces together with the water, and that's enough. That's the giblu. Maybe the mishnah goes according to everybody. Says Gemara loino sargad, you can't say that, because we have an opinion, and we need to find out who it aligns with, and he can only align with Rabbi Yisi. What do you mean? We have a braisa where it says, Echad Neisen is a Eifer. One guy puts in the ashes, the Echad Neisen is a mine. One guy puts the water. Now, ashes and water, nobody stands there that and it tries to bring, to knead it together. And yet, Ha'achan Chayiv Divrei Rebbe, Rabbi Yisi, Rabbi Yudah, Oymer, Achi Yivu, Rabbi Yisi, Rabbi argues, even in that case, where there is no other step, that's the final step. Nevertheless, he holds, it's not Gibul if it happens by itself. Says Gemara, that's not Raya, because we remember we had Gemara Chul in other places that Eifer sometimes can be translated as dirt rather than ashes. The Dilma, my Eifer offer, maybe over here the Braisa even though used the word Eifer, it meant dirt, and dirt and water is the normal way of making mud and cement and all that. So it is something that you need together. The Bar Giblu. Says Gemara, Vatanya, we learned another Braisa, Eifer, Vatanya offer, we learned two Braisas. One Braisa uses the word Eifer, which and one braisa uses offer. If you have a braisa that uses the word offer sand, then obviously eifer means ashes. So we see Rabbi Yisi argues even in a case where, like ink and water, normally you don't need it together, here it's considered like gibul. Says the Gemara, that's no proof. Mide Gabi Hadad Yitanya, had it been the same author, and learning both braises, then you would be medayik, you would say, well, here uses the word eifer, and here uses offer. It's deliberate. Eifer means ashes. To tell us, Rabbi Yisi argues in all instances. But because it's two different tanoim, two different braises, maybe this tana has the habit of using the word eifer with an aleph for sand. And therefore could be Rabbi Yisi only argues in the case of flour and water, sand and water, which is where there's another step. We have to knead it physically, so therefore if you just put it in, it's not considered gibel kneading. But if it's, but Rabbi Yisi might be moida to Rebbe in the case of ink and water, or ashes and water, that it's considered as Melacha D'oraisa. And the Mishnah goes according to everybody. Okay, now continuing along the same theme, we have a Braisa, and we're going to use the Braisa to try to explain the crux of the argument between Beis Shammah and Beis Hillel, why you could or you can't on Friday afternoon begin a Melacha of the Torah. Torah, what we learned. Poiskin mayim legina. You're allowed to, you know, dig out a channel from the spring to the garden. Erev Shabbos im chashecha, Friday afternoon, and it should continue watering your garden the entire Shabbos. Umis malaz v'halechas kol hayom kol. It continues watering on Shabbos, which if you would have done on a Shabbos, it's an isa d'oraisa of zriya, but you began on Friday. Umenichin mugma tachas akelim. You're allowed to put all kinds of incense under your clothing on Friday afternoon, and then there's a fire there, and it gives off fragrance into your clothing, so it should smell well. It should have a good fragrance. Umizgamnin v'holchin kolayim kulin. You do this all, and then you can continue into Shabbos. And we don't know who the author of the Braisa is. Umenichin gofris tachas a kelim. You'll put sulfur under your silver kelim. That, you know, they used to design all kinds of flowers and other things, just to etch in there. And then they used to use sulfur, and they used to darken it a little bit to make it stand out. You're allowed to start on Friday to continue into Shabbos. Umizgamfrim v'holchin kol Shabbos kol, continue into Shabbos. Umenichin kila l'gabe ayin, you're allowed to put a salve on your eye. And be splinted galimaka or some kind of, you know, shmirchs on your, and a bandit on your wound. And on Shabbos itself, you're not allowed to put these things on your eye, the salve, because a gzeira of shechikas habamonim, if it's for medicine, you might next time crush the spices, or if it might be mamarech, you're smoothing it out. If it's, we're talking about a thick salve, and so on. And umisapez, we'll let him kula, and continue the entire day, because he did it Friday afternoon. Aval, but. Now, you would think straight away the author of this braisa would be Hillel, because he as long as he started Friday, it doesn't matter. The spanner in the works is the next part of the braisa. Here it says, "Aval ein noistin chitin l'toy cherechaim shel maimi." Not permitted to place wheat into a watermill on Friday afternoon. Ela b'gdei sheitchenu miboyim, unless it does it all by day. Now, why? If it's Hillel, Hillel says you can begin any melach on Friday. So, what's the problem? My timer. So, who's the author of the braisa? It would seem that this is Shammah. Then, how do you explain the first part of the braisa? So Rava comes along and says, no, definitely the author of the Braise is Hillel, but even Hillel would agree a watermill is forbidden to start Friday afternoon. Why is that? B'pnei shemashmas koil. It generates, it makes a lot of noise. And if it makes a lot of noise, it's not appropriate, even though you started on Friday afternoon. And the machlekes and the achreinim, what exactly is the problem? Is the problem that the noise is a zuzel of Shabbos? You make something making noise on Shabbos is mezal, is desecrating the Shabbos in a way, it's inappropriate. Or if you make noise, it attracts people's attention and they think that you started the melacha on Shabbos, more like marisain. So, and this is very important today to some of the devices, like having a radio on Shabbos, or the dishwasher, they used to talk about it, they used to make a lot of noise, even though you said it before Shabbos. So that's Rabba's opinion. So this, I mean, even Beis Hillel agrees to this concept. Rabbi Yosef says, what are you talking about noise? The way most Australian learn, Rabbi Yosef says, I don't agree. There's no such thing as Hashavas Kol. There's no Iser to make noise on Shabbos if you started before Shabbos. What's the Iser? He says that the problem here is, I agree with you as Hillel, but the problem here is that your Kalim have to rest on Shabbos, and the watermill is not resting on Shabbos. The obvious question will be, I mean, according to Rabbi Yitzchak, even Hillel would agree that Kalim have to rest on Shabbos. So the obvious question is, then why only watermill? What about all these other activities we had before where your Kalim are working? The Tanya we learned, first of all, how do I know that you came after rest on Shabbos? It says, everything I told you to Shemedah you should keep. What do you mean, what everything, what's the everything? The Rabbis to include Shavisa's Kalim. Before that, it talks about your animals and you know, should settle. And then it says, and everything, and comes to include your utensils. El Rabbi Yosef, Bishop Shvisas Kalim. Its idea is your Kalim need to rest. Says the Gemara Vahashta, now according to Rabbi Yosef, the Amrit that you now include, Beis Hill, that he also agrees with East Lushis of Kalim. It's a law that your Kalim need to rest on Shabbos. So not only is it mandatory for you and your livestock to rest on Shabbos, but also your Kalim, your utensils. So tell me, D'oraisa is gofris, the case of the sulfur, mugmer, in the case of the incense, where you're burning on Shabbos, your kelim, there's a fire inside your kelim, and it's burning on Shabbos. Your kelim aren't resting. My time is sharu. So Gemara says, the reason is, mushrim d'leka ovid maise. Beis Shammah holds, all your kelim have to rest on Shabbos, regardless. And Basil says only if your kelim are active, like the water mill, the mill itself is active in crushing the wheat. Over here, the keli just sitting there, and there's wood inside the keli, so the keli is not doing anything, not contributing. That kind of shvisas kelim Basil is matter. So the Gemara, Nuna Mishnah, Unin shall pishtin your bundle of flax. My time is shoddy. Why is that permitted? It's sitting inside a vessel, a utensil. Otherwise, you know, the water wouldn't be able to sit. Again, shouldn't love in Maisa. The keli isn't doing anything. The water just sitting in the keli. It's the water that's boiled with the fire that is making it all happen. What do you call it? I'm sorry, we're talking about an oven and not a keli of water. The oven. The oven is just sitting there, and the wood, the firewood is sitting there, and the oven is just sitting, inactive. Says the Gemara Vayta, what about Mitzudas Chayev Oiva Dogim, the Kovim Maisa, your trapper, and you have these nets out there to trap. Again, my time is shorter, your kelim are active. Hasam Nami, we're talking about in a case where your kelim are not doing anything. Why? Belechi, there's either some kind of bait and a hook. The fish goes to eat it, and the fish traps itself, so your fishing rod did nothing. Or kukri, a kind of a funnel that is sort of concave. So one side is very wide, and the other side it gets narrower and narrower, and the fish sort of is tempted to go inside, swims all the way across. Its head is being a bit narrow, goes right through the narrow spot, but can't continue because its body won't fit through. Tries to go back, it can't go back either because part of its head went out, can't come back in. The gills and all that sticking out. So again, the loy covered maisa. The kelim didn't do a maisa. So according to Basil, the only time that the kelim need to rest on Shabbos is from being active. But if they're inactive, impassive, it doesn't matter. So we have an argument to Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi understood that the Braisa goes according to Hill. Hill doesn't believe at all in Shvisas Kalim, but he believes he's not going to generate noise. And according to Rabbi Yosef, Basil says it's Shvisas Kalim. Your Kalim have to rest if they're active. And what does Beishamai hold? Beishamai holds your Kalim have to rest even if they're inactive. So according to Rabbi doesn't believe at all in the concept of Shvisas Kalim. How does he understand Beishamai? He says, Beshame holds all of these things you now do on Friday, Gzeira, since it's Osir on Shabbos, if we allow you to do it on Friday, next time you'll do it on Shabbos proper. Says the Gemara, Vahashta the Omer Rabbeisha Rabasi. Now the Rabbeisha says, Nei Rabasi. Mantana Shvisa Kalim the Raisa. Who's the author of the one who holds that Kalim should rest on Shabbos in the Torah? Only Beshamehi. The Loi Basil, not Basil. No, but it sounds like we learned the Raisa like Rabbah that has nothing to do with resting Kalim, but rather because making noise. Is lebeishamai according to beishamai bein ka'avid ma'isa bein teloy ka'avid ma'isa asur is forbidden, and lebeisil according to beisil I forgot the ka'avid ma'isa even though he does a ma'isa shari your kelim are permitted. So therefore, based on this, many in Shreim understood that Rabbi Isha and Avasi agree with Rabbah, and therefore in Shabbos there's an issur of generating noise. Ashuras koil or afshar milsa making noise on Shabbos is a problem, according to Rabbi Tam and others. That they're actually learning like Rabbi Yosef, they're learning like Rabbi Yosef, and they have a different understanding of the Gemara here, and therefore they paskin, there's no Isser at all whatsoever making noise on Shabbos. In Halacha, we paskin that you're not making noise on Shabbos, and then we have a Machlekes, the two reasons I told you before. Vahashta the Omrit, now that you say the Lebe Shammai, Kod Beshammai, Afagav the Le'ovin Maisa Osir, now that you tell me Shammai, hold on, even if you didn't do a Maisa, it's Osir, Kelim need to rest all the time. So Yehoch, let me ask you a question, according to Shammai, Mugmer, the Gophers, my time was Sharu. So you're learning that this Bryce is actually Shammai. That Shammai holds that you're not allowed to make any. So you're telling the author of this Bryce is Bishammai. That's why you're not allowed to have the watermill working on Friday because you can't have to rest. So L'chayda and Bishammai in our Mishnah says even Kalim which are inactive. So tell me, why does the first section of the Bryce say that you're allowed to have your incense, you're allowed to have, you know, those things burning? If you did it on Friday, L'chayi came on resting. And according to Beishamai, it doesn't make a difference if it's active or inactive. My time is shorter, Beishamai. Answer the Gemara, who told you was sitting inside a utensil? Hosam monacha arat, sitting on the ground. And you had wood on the ground, and then you have your incense there burning, or your sulfur. Okay, gigis, if you have a barrel that makes beer, or kededa, patas on the stove, or shpuda, spit in the oven. My time is shorter, why are they permitted? Everything has to rest on Shabbos, and Neid is the Neid of Friday that burns into Shabbos. How can you have the burning? Answer the Gemara: the Mafkir, my time of Shabbos Shammai, the Mafkir who have Kudei. So every Friday you make it Hefker. So the Shem Rei discussed according to Shammai, every Friday that you have to make your candles, your Friday night candles Hefker. Otherwise, your Kalim are working for you on Shabbos. And the Tosafot already in the other Rishayim discussed the Gemara Nedarim says you need three people. When you make Hefkid, you have three people there. So the answer, either that's only Midrabbanan, you don't need three people there. It's only Midrabbanan to Mifar Samit, but everyone knows that comes Shabbos, we want to make sure it's Hefkid, we don't be over, so you don't need to. Whenever we're in doubt whether you actually mean it, so we want three people there like a bezin. Even if you hold the three people's matayda, it's like a bezin, then it can happen. In this case, we know 100% you want it to be hefker, so you shouldn't be over on Shabbos. Okay, man tanu who the Tanabon, who's the author?
Michael,
yeah.
Can I just ask, what do we do with that concept today? How do we understand that today?
We don't paskin like Beishamei at all.
Full stop.
Full stop. So we paskin the seal.
Okay, yep.
Yeah. My timer. So who's author of the following braisa? Loi temale isha kededa. A woman on Friday afternoon should not fill up a pot. Asosias with termesin, different kind of legumes that take a very long time to cook. V'taniach teretana, place in the oven. Erev Shabbos, Shecha, Friday afternoon. You're telling me, according to the Beis Hillel, you're allowed to start any activity that's forbidden on Shabbos on Friday afternoon. So how come it says here in this braisa, you're not allowed to fill up a pot full of legumes on Friday afternoon? And it says that if you place it in, l'matzoi Shabbos asudin, it's forbidden even matzoi Shabbos ishiyasa. Let's say it takes 3 hours to cook, you need to wait matzoi Shabbos 3 hours, so you shouldn't benefit at all from what you did on Shabbos. Ki yaitzi by similar, lo yamali nachtum, a baker should not fill chovi shamayim, a barrel full of water, and v'yinir techetan ha-shem v'chsheh, he wants to start baking right after Shabbos, so he puts a barrel of water Friday afternoon, leave it overnight for the next 24 hours into the oven, so for matzoi Shabbos it's already hot. And if he did that, and Matzoi Shabbos, you got to wait as long as it would have taken to heat it up. So the author is Beishamai. Because according to Beisil, you're allowed to start any activity you want on Friday afternoon. Says the Gemara. And even a watermill that we're against is only because it makes a lot of noise. Says the Gemara, no. When it comes to cooking and baking Friday afternoon, even Beisil would agree for a different reason. Not because your kelim need to rest. It's a gzeira. The gzeira, we worry that on Shabbos, and not a gzeira like in the Mishnah according to Rabbi Beishamai says, if we allow you to do a malach on Friday, you'll do a malach, start a malach on Shabbos. No. It's a gzeira that this very thing that you started on Friday, you might try to rectify on Shabbos. And it's inevitable you will. For example, Afil Tehu Beisil, gzeira, we are worried, Shema Yechatze B'Yecholim, we are worried that you might stoke the coal in order to hasten the cooking. And therefore, let's say if it's not, as we'll learn later in the Gemara, third Pedic, according to that if it's not Michael Ben Drusoy, if it's less than a third way cooked or halfway cooked, then it takes a while to cook it yet. And if, let's say, you want to eat Friday night, we're scared you're going to increase the fire to make sure it'll be ready for the meal. And that's the reason for this. So how come we allowed you, according to Beis Hillel, according to everybody, incense and to burn on Friday, why don't we worry you'll stoke the coal as well? Hosan lemachlo, there you have no reason to stoke the coal. In fact, you won't because it'll be adverse. You'll have adverse effects. The e machti, because if you move the coal around, sole bekuti, what does it do? When you move coal around, it generates a lot of smoke. And vikoshilu, it'll actually be bad for your clothing to have all that smoke enter the clothes. So therefore, you won't play around with the coal. Okay, what about the Mishnah? Unin shel pishtin, which Hillel permitted, you're allowed to put in the flax in the oven. Namalik says, why are we allowed to do it on Friday? Why isn't the hill concerned? You'll stoke the coal. Hosam there also, kivin the kosher lezika, once you began the process, and if you open the door of the oven, the wind comes in, it will actually ruin what you're trying to do. Lay magalu, you won't open it. What about semaliyah? In the other case in the Mishnah, we had wool inside a pot to absorb the dye. Ligza, why you like to leave it Friday afternoon? Why don't you worry you'll stoke the coal? Amashmul, biyayda akuda. We're talking about a pot that is removed from the fire. And therefore, there's no coal there to be talking about. V'neichu shem emegid. But even as you remove the fire, why don't you worry that you might stir it? And stirring it, what's the problem? Big machlek is rishonim. According to Rashi, it's like you're cooking. So according to Rashi, he's machmer that even if the pot is off the fire, if you stir, you are considered cooking on Shabbos, if it's not 100% ready. So if you take a pot off the fire on Shabbos, according to Rashi, you're not allowed to stir it, even if it's off the fire. But if it's 100% cooked, then you're allowed to. Some say even if it's halfway cooked, you're allowed to. The Rosh himself, in one place says you're allowed to, another place says you're not allowed to. But other Rishonim learn it's nothing to do with cooking, because there's no cooking. Once it's off the fire and stirring it, it's not a problem, because there's no fire there to cook. Even though you're moving the food around, and later when it goes back on the fire, it might cook, you know, certain parts will cook readily, more readily than others. That doesn't matter. They hold, we're talking about your coloring. If you're stirring it and you're trying to have the dye be absorbed in the material, you are coloring. And that's the problem. So we answer about kura, it's removing the fire. And you know why Basil is not concerned in the case of the wool? Because with tuchets also, you covered it with a seal and you put some a sealer on it, made out of cement or other things. And therefore, when you'll try to open it, it'll take some time, you'll remember Shabbos. Says the Gemara Bahash, that you introduce a new concept here. According to Basil, even though you're allowed to do everything you want on Friday afternoon. But if we are concerned that you might, with this very malacha you start on Friday, you might end up doing, adding, contributing on Shabbos. Gizeid Hashem Yechati Vicholim, you might stoke the coal. In that case, Hai Kedei Lechiyosa, if you have a raw pot, if you have a raw pot, you haven't cooked it at all, you're not going to put a pot on the fire if it just started cooking, because you might stoke the coal. But if it's more than halfway cooked, we paskin, not like the Chacham hold it's forbidden, we hold it as mutter. If it's more than halfway cooked, because by the time you're ready to eat, it'll be fully cooked, so you won't stoke the coal. But another eight is, it should be totally raw. If it's totally raw, that means you decided you're not going to eat it tonight because you put it on so late. So therefore, why would you stoke the coal? By tomorrow morning, when you do intend to eat it, it'll be ready anyway. So you like a chont. You're allowed to place it erev Shabbos im chashecha b'tanur in the oven. My timer, why is that? Kiven the lechazil urcha, anyway, it's not suitable for that night. Asuchim masir daitimene, you removed it from your mind and you won't bother stoking the coal. V'le'osi lechtu yucholim, you won't mix the coal. U'boshel, on the other hand, also if it's fully cooked, then shabbos on it. If it's fully cooked, you're allowed to leave it on the fire, or according to others, even if it's Michael ben Drusoy, half or third way cooked. The problem is bashil v'loy bashil, if it's partially cooked. Because also that's when it's forbidden. Why is it forbidden? Because you probably want it to be for tonight and you're scared. It's not ready. You have guests, so you might stoke the coal. V'yishadi be'gram echi, but if you threw in a bone that is totally raw into the food, even though let's say it's less than halfway cooked or less than third cooked, so you now leave it on the fire, but you threw a bone in there, a meat that takes a while to cook, and you showed us, you demonstrated you have no interest in it for tonight. Sharp it on, it's all right. But if you put something in there like vegetables that cooks quickly, it doesn't help. It has to be putting in a raw meat or something. Now that you've also introduced to us that kol midi de kosher lezika, anything that if you just introduced the idea that you won't open the door when it comes to the flax because it'll ruin it. So anything that the wind, if you open the door of the oven, the wind will come in and ruin. And if we're talking about a food, the same thing happens. Le Megali, you'll never open it. So then there was no concern, just like in the case of the flax. So what kind of food are we referring to? Haibisa de Gadia, if you have flesh of a young goat. There, if you open the oven while you're baking, the wind, it will completely ruin the food that you're baking there. And so now, if you have two factors here, it's the meat of a goat and Vishadik, plus you sealed it, the cover, you sealed it. Then Shapadam, you have two variables here that's gonna cause you not to try to stoke the coal. Number one is that opening the door will ruin it, and number two is that it's sealed, so you'll, or as a reminder. The barcha, if it's a full-grown ram, and there, if you open the door, it doesn't the meat is not so tender, and the wind will not in any way adversely affect it, then there's a problem. And veloshadik, plus, if you didn't seal it, so you have no reminder, there's nothing there to remind you, and no reason why you should open the door, then also, obviously, before Shabbos, you're not allowed to bake it. What about if there one variable exists and one doesn't? For example, the gadya, it's the young goat, which normally wouldn't open the door, but veloshadik, you don't have that reminder. Or the barch, an older goat, which you don't mind opening the door, but veloshadik, it's sealed. What happens then? So according to this version, Rav Ashi Shadik, Rav Ashi holds, one reminder is sufficient. Rabbi Medifti, says one reminder is insufficient. Ul Rav Ashi the Shari, according to Rav Ashi, that does permit it. If you have one reminder, tell me. We learned in a brisa, ain tzeilin. You're not allowed to. We learned ain tzeilin that you're not allowed to roast basil. You're not allowed to roast meat. It's actually the next Mishnah. You're not allowed to roast meat, basil, onion, ube, and egg. Ela kadeshu tzeilin b'jam, unless it was already roasted Friday afternoon. According to Rav Ashi, he says that if it's, let's say, it seems like any meat. According to Rav Ashi, if it's an older meat, it doesn't matter. According to Rav Ashi, that he holds that it's permitted, let's say, by a young goat. He said it's permitted because you won't open the door, you'll ruin it. So why does the Mishnah say that it's Asa? So Rav Asher will answer very simply. Who told you he's talking about a young goat? Even though the Mishnah says it in general, Hasam debarcha, v'loy shadik. Over there he's talking about an older goat. And because it's talking about an older goat, you won't open the door. But you're right. If it would have been a younger goat, it would be forbidden. That's this version. But Ikadami, the other version is, because of the Mishnah that says, the other version is, the Gadya, if it's a young goat, then Bein Shodik, whether you sealed it, you didn't seal the Shabbat, I mean, there's no way in the world you would open it, because the whole purpose of stoking the coal is to make the food bake quicker, but you know it's going to ruin the food, so you wouldn't do that. Even during the week, you don't open it, because it'll ruin the food. So therefore, everyone agrees, when it comes to young goat, there's no chash, you can open the door to stoke the coal. The Barcha Nami, if it's an older goat, Vishodik, and there's a seal around it, that's sufficient reminder. Shapadami, one reminder is sufficient. Key pligi, the argument between Rav Ashi and Rav Yimi and Medifti is the barcha, an older goat, and the leshadik. There's nothing here. It's an older goat, and there's no reminder. Rav Ashi still shadik. Rav Ashi still permits it. Because you have to open a door to get into it. He says, because you have to open the door, that's sufficient distance that you're not going to do it. If it's directly on an open fire right in front of you, we're worried about stoking the coal, like on top of the page. But here it's inside an oven with a door, even though it's not sealed, and even though it's an older goat, and during the week you might open it to stoke the coal, not on Shabbos. And Yimi Difti Asav, Yimi Asas. And here again, Machlik is showing you who the halach is like. But most of Paschal Rabbi Yimi. Rav Ashi, according to Rav Ashi, the Shari, Rav Ashi permits it completely. So how does he learn Pshat in the Mishnah? Ain't Tzoylim, Basa, Bakal Beya, Elzim Yoyim. So he'll say, which kind of meat is it that you're not allowed to roast? Because Rav Ashi is saying now that even an older goat and no seal, you're still permitted. Hasam bebisra agumra. There's talking about meat directly, the wood over there that's burning, and therefore we're worried about stoking the coal. That's when it says ain't sailing. If it's directly on the fire. But if it's inside an oven, there's a door, you're not going to stoke the coal. Amar avina haikrochia shapadami. He says here that if you have a raw, let's say like a pumpkin, if you have raw squash, it's all right. Why? Because kivan de kosher lezika, because the wind is bad. Kibisa de gadya dummy. Because if you open the door, it'll ruin it. It's like a meat of a goat that gets ruined, and regardless of whether it's sealed or not sealed, we're allowed to know. We follow the second ika de amri, which says that a young goat, I don't care if there's a seal or not, everything holds that as mutter. Then the Mishnah continues. Rishamai says, "Ein moichin." You're not allowed to sell to a goy something unless he's able to bring it to his house before Shabbos. Says the Gemara. Rishamai says, "La yimkur adam chevtzin nochi." You should not sell your object to a goy v'lo yashilenu, nor should you lend it to him where he has to return that same object back to you. We're not talking about something which you have shvisas kalim. We're talking about, let's say, clothes. Wearing clothes. V'lo yilvenu. Don't lend him, and then he has to pay you back money as well. Because till he pays it back, the object is yours. Nor should you give a gift, provided it gets to his house before Shabbos. Beis Hillel says, it doesn't have to get to his house, but it has to get to his suburb, or his neighborhood, wherever he is, near the wall next to the city. So that's enough. Because if the guy wants, he can put it down right there. And the Kiva says, as soon as the guy leaves your own house, it's not your responsibility anymore. Don't think Rabbi Kiva is a third opinion. He's defining or explaining Hillel. The Tanakhama learned Hillel says that you still have to go, he still has to bring it to his town, but it's sufficient to bring it in the beginning of his town. And Rabbi Kiva says, no, as long as it leaves your house, it's all right. Rabbi Kiva, the father of Hillel, coming to explain the words of Hillel. Tell Rabbi learned. B'Shami, a very similar thing we have regarding Pesach. B'Shami says, La yimkur adam chemtzel nachri, a person should not sell his chametz to a goy, elim ken yodeba, unless you know, she yichle kaidam ha-Pesach, he will consume all the chametz before Pesach, divrei de Shammai. Or Beis Hillel says, kol zman shemutu l'ochle mutu l'mochre, as long as you're allowed to eat it till Erev Pesach in the morning, as long as it's man from achilas chametz, you're permitted to sell it to a goy. Once it's the goy, it's the goy's. It doesn't matter anymore. Rabbi Huda says, when it comes to Kutucha Bavli, there's something we quote off and we'll have later in Psachim. So this is the moldy bread and that thing that takes a very long time to eat it, consume it, and with chametz and so on. B'chol mine kutach and all kinds of kutachs, also forbidden limkod lamid yom kodem Pesach. 30 days, it takes a very long time to eat it, and it stays for a long time. Before 30 days, even b'shamayz moedu, you're allowed to sell it, because before 30 days has no connection to Pesach. Shloishim yom kodem achag is doishim shoros because Pesach. That's when there's a connection to Pesach. Torah Rabbah, we learned. You can give food to your dog b'chotzer on Shabbos inside your courtyard, because it's mezoinos alecha. You have to feed it. You're allowed to. Otherwise, if it's not your animal, you're not allowed to, because it's a tircha on Shabbos, and we don't want you to have a tircha on Shabbos if there's no need for it. Not l'viyotzer. The dog took it out. Now ain't this kogel. It's not your problem. Kiyotzer is similar. Nosnu mezoinos lifnei hanochri. If you gave food before a goy b'chotzer and chotzer. Not leviyotze, the guy took that food out, ain't his kokinloi. You don't have to worry about it. Now, the taste asked already a question. We know that on Yom Tov, you're not allowed to have a goy as a guest because he might cook more for the Yom Tov, because it's not your responsibility. So why is it on Shabbos you're allowed to have a goy coming to you on Shabbos? Why is Yom Tov, the Shabbos, then different than Yom Tov? So Taisa says, by Yom Tov, you're doing a malacha in the Torah of cooking, and therefore a goy is not your responsibility, not allowed to. On Shabbos, this whole thing is only the Rabbanan, it's a tircha, we don't want you to work hard on Shabbos. And since we have a concept of, we want to generate shalom between us and other people, darki shalom, so we allow to have a goy as a guest to come in and take food, because the Rabbanan there, because of darki shalom, suspended that iser of, it's like mezonos alecha, it's like we have a responsibility to help them, like, you know, we say, mefanes ani, akam ani Yisrael, you have to be a good citizen. Anyway, the principle is the same. Just like we say, the dog, if he wants to take the food out, if you're allowed to feed it, the dog takes food out, it's not your responsibility. If you're allowed to feed the goy, he takes it out, again, it's not your responsibility. Says, Hasu lamali, what do you do this for? Hainu hach, the same thing. Says the Gemara, ma'otir, I would have thought, hai rami alei, v'hai loy rami alei. Animal, it's your animal, it's your responsibility. But a goy, at the end of the day, is not your responsibility. So maybe you know, you shouldn't give anything to eat. Kamashlan, that you're allowed to. Okay, we'll stop here, and we'll continue tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem.